Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, July 9th, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, the great chapter on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in this great chapter. It's the greatest part of the Word of God that describes a very important doctrine of the church age, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Unique to this dispensation, unique to the church age that we live in. Church age began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture of the church. All throughout the church age, every person, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and identifies you with Christ in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. Retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in His death and burial. Current positional truth, identification with Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session. And we, at the moment, church age saints, as a result of current positional truth, we are in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament times, when a person believed in Christ, he had regeneration. He was family of God. We're in the church age. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we are taken by the baptism of the Spirit, entered into union with Christ. the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we are royal family of God. And this is the most unique dispensation in all of human history. This is the dispensation of power. And the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead has been given to us. The same power that resurrected Christ from the dead is the power for us to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And that unique spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution, and that supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. This is the only dispensation where every church age believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, and the filling of the Spirit is the power to live this unique spiritual life. There was no indwelling of the Spirit in Old Testament times. There was no filling of the Spirit in Old Testament times. There was an endowment of the Spirit for carrying out a certain specific task, but no universal indwelling of the Spirit as the base of operations of the filling of the Spirit. That's unique to us. You live in the greatest dispensation in all of human history, the dispensation of great power. Now, this chapter, Romans 6, is critical. All church age believers need to understand Romans chapter 6 inside and out. Sadly to say, I would say very few church age believers understand Romans chapter 6 and the baptism of the Spirit inside and out. Before we get started again in Romans 6, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. One Lord. There's only one Savior. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's only one Savior, the God-man Jesus Christ. One Lord, one faith. That's the basis of eternal salvation. Eternal salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. One baptism. And it's not water baptism. One baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not water baptism. Water baptism was instituted. It was a ritual baptism using water to teach the baptism of the Spirit. It was a training aid. And when you had water baptism, you went down under the water. That's retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial. You come up out of the water. Current positional truth, identification with Christ in his union with Jesus Christ in his resurrection. So, water baptism was a training aid until God the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, had Romans 6 written and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 written. Now that they have been written, well, the Apostle Paul even said, well, I baptized a couple of you, but not very many. And God didn't send me here to baptize people. He sent me here as an apostle to write most of the New Testament scriptures and communicate grace and truth. So one Lord, Jesus Christ, one faith, the basis of salvation, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, one baptism, and that's the baptism of the Spirit. It is not water baptism. And there's a lot of people who think you're not saved if you haven't had water baptism. If you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal salvation. And if you think you have to have water baptism to be saved, that's a work. You add a work to faith in Christ, you're not saved. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, then the baptism of the Spirit. Every one of you who believed in Christ, you were baptized by God the Holy Spirit. Identify with Christ in his death and burial. Identify with Christ in his resurrection. You are in union with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're royal family of God. And because you're royal family of God, God has a unique spiritual life for you. And we are commanded now to walk in newness of life. To walk in newness of life. And walking in newness of life is living the unique spiritual life of the church age. And that's in our study in Romans 6. So, Romans chapter 6, let's start the corrected translation of verse 1. Therefore, what are we to say, or what are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Meganoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature, the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, how can we live in it or by the power of the sin nature any longer? Verse 3. Or are you ignorant? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, the baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into his death? That's retroactive positional truth. That's part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Retroactive positional truth is identification with Christ in his two deaths and his burial through the mechanics of the baptism of the Spirit. Identification with Christ in his death includes both the spiritual death, his spiritual death, and his physical death. The spiritual death of Christ on the cross is related to the judicial imputation of all personal sins of the mankind to Jesus Christ on the cross and the judgment of those sins by God the Father. And this is the basis for eternal salvation. This is unlimited atonement. 1 John 2:2. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world. Those who would believe in Christ and those who would not, to every member of the human race, were poured out on Christ, judged in Jesus Christ, once and for all. And therefore, every single member of the human race has the potential for eternal salvation by simply believing in Jesus Christ. Retroactive positional truth also deals with what was not imputed to the cross. What was not imputed to Christ on the cross. You see, the sin nature has three trends: sin, human good, and evil. All the sins of mankind were imputed to Christ and judged on the cross, but not human good and evil. In the spiritual death of Christ, his salvation work on the cross, both human good and evil were rejected. Being identified with Christ in his spiritual death, we have positionally rejected and been separated from human good and evil. Human good and evil is the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world, and therefore human good is the basis for Satan's false gospel, the false gospel of salvation by works. So while all personal sins were imputed to Christ and judged on the cross, Christ was rejecting human good and evil as the solution to the problem between good and between God and man. Human good and evil have a dual function. They are both the policy of Satan and the function of the sin nature which rules our life. Through retroactive positional truth, the believer is separated from good and evil positionally so that the rulership of Satan and the sovereignty of the sin nature are broken positionally. And therefore, retroactive positional truth coupled with current positional truth is the basis for canceling the sovereignty of the sin nature ruling human life by the means of spiritual death. At the same time, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the mechanics of retroactive and current positional truth, establishes the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of the believer. We have a new authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. Retroactive positional truth is part of the believer's completeness in Christ. Colossians 2, 9 through 12. The believer's completeness in Christ has broken the power of Satan and the sin nature. Through current positional truth, identification with Jesus Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father, the believer is positionally higher than the angels. You are perfect positionally in union with Christ. Now we must bring our experience to the point of our position in Christ. The believer's mental attitude is related to retroactive positional truth, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. You are to concentrate on your perfect position in Christ. Current positional truth is designed to make you think divine viewpoint, to think objectively. Colossians 3, 2, set your mind on the things above. You are now in union with Christ. You're in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. You now have spiritual freedom. So set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Retroactive positional truth breaks the power of the sin nature as the ruler of human life. And that's our paragraph, Romans 6, 1 through 5, which we are studying. We have rejected, been separated from, and divorced from the sin nature. So again, Romans 6, 3, or are you ignorant? Unfortunately, many church-age believers are. Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into His death, retroactive positional truth? Now we go on in Romans 6, 4. Therefore, now he brings in another part of retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in His burial. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. This is the post-positive conjunction, un, plus the aorist passive indicative of synthopto, plus the dative singular of autos, plus the prepositional phrase dia, plus the genitive singular of baptisma, with a definite article, and the prepositional phrase eis, plus the accusative singular of phonetos, with a definite article. We start out with the postpositive conjunction un. O-U-N. Un. And un is an inferential conjunction, denoting that what it introduces is the result of or an inference from what precedes, specifically Romans 6, verses 1 through 3. Un introduces a conclusion from what precedes. We are no longer a slave to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. The inferential conjunction un, it may be translated so, or therefore, or consequently, or accordingly, or then. We're going to translate it therefore. A couple of things. One, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit at salvation, we have been identified with Christ in His death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and with His resurrection, current positional truth. As a result of the baptism of the Spirit at salvation, salvation is faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. That's it. When you place your faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit identifies you with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection, retroactive and current positional truth. Two, therefore, we now have spiritual freedom. We now have spiritual freedom. We're no longer in slavery. Three, This spiritual freedom means we are no longer a slave to the sin nature as the ruler of our human life, and that was true from physical birth until salvation. From the moment of our physical birth to our faith in Christ, we were all slaves to the sin nature as the ruler of human life, and slaves to Satan as the ruler of the world. So this spiritual freedom means we are no longer a slave. A slave to the sin nature as the ruler of human life, a slave to Satan as the ruler of the world. Four, our spiritual freedom is made up of two parts. Positional freedom, experiential freedom. Positional freedom in union with Jesus Christ. Positional truth, we have positional freedom in union with Christ. Current positional truth. And experiential freedom, we have the unique spiritual life of the church age provided by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And the filling of the Spirit means freedom, experiential freedom to glorify God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. This is God the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. So positional freedom in union with Christ, experiential freedom, the freedom through the filling of the Spirit to live the spiritual life and glorify God, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. You have the freedom to do that. You have the freedom to live in newness of life. You have the freedom to live the unique spiritual life. You're no longer a slave to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. You're no longer a slave to Satan as the ruler of this world. You now have the freedom to live the unique spiritual life and glorify Jesus Christ to the maximum. So our spiritual freedom made up of two parts, positional freedom in union with Christ, experiential freedom, the unique spiritual life of the church age, provided by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:17. And then we have the verb soon thopto. S-U-N-T-H-A-P-T, long O. Soon thopto. Now we studied this one other time. It's only used two times. You probably forgot the other time. In Colossians 2, verse 12. So soon thopto is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. And both times it's used by the Apostle Paul, our verse, Romans 6:4 and Colossians 2:12. It is not in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. So a couple of things about soon thopto. First of all, it is a compound word made up of the preposition soon, which is with, and thopto, which is to bury. It's a compound word made up of soon, with, and thopto, to bury. Two. So literally, soon thopto means to bury together with someone. To bury together with someone. That's its literal translation. Three. In the scriptures, it's only used figuratively of the believer being buried with the Lord Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth. So in the two uses, Colossians 2:12, Romans 6:4, It's only used figuratively of the believer being buried with the Lord Jesus Christ by the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth. Four, through the baptism of the Spirit of salvation, the church age believer is identified with Christ in his burial. Through the baptism of the Spirit of salvation, the church age believer is identified with Christ in his burial. Five, this is a part of retroactive positional truth, and retroactive positional truth has three parts: identification with Christ in his spiritual death, identification with Christ in his physical death, identification with Christ in his burial. Here the emphasis is on the identification with Christ in his burial. Aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth in its entirety. The passive voice is the voice of grace. The church age believer receives the action of being buried with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic principle of the Word of God. And then the intensive pronoun autos. Autos is used for the third person personal pronoun, very common in Koine Greek, and is translated him, and him refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. The dative case is the dative of association or accompaniment, and so it's correctly translated with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive. D-I-A plus the genitive, and you are, most of you are part of an enlightened congregation, and you know that D-I-A plus the genitive means by means of or through. And we'll translate it by means of. And then we have baptisma. B-A-P-T-I-S-M-A, baptisma. And baptisma comes from the verb baptizo. Both of these words have been transliterated, and that does not tell you what they mean. Baptisma has been transliterated baptism. Baptizo has been translated to baptize. In classical Greek, baptize meant to identify one thing with another thing, so that the characteristic of the original thing was changed into another characteristic by what was identified with it. So baptism means identification or association. And then we have ace plus the accusative. Ace plus the accusative means into, and then we have thanatos. T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S, thanatos. Thanatos means death. It refers to the spiritual death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the physical death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have been buried together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death, retroactive positional truth. So verse 4, therefore, we have been buried together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, not water baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death, retroactive positional truth. And then we have that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. This is the conjunction hina with the comparative host bearer, plus the nominative singular Christos with the aorist passive indicative of agero, plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive plural of nekros, plus the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive singular of doxa with a definite article, and the genitive singular of pater with a definite article. Hina. H-I-N-A. Hina. Hina introduces a purpose clause, and you can translate it for the purpose that, or in order that. We'll translate it for the purpose that. And let's notice a couple of things. One, hina introduces the purpose for our identification with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth. So hina introduces the purpose for our identification with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth. Two, the purpose is to set us free from slavery to the sin nature as the ruler of human life, and slavery to Satan as the ruler of the world. The purpose is to set us free, to give us freedom, spiritual freedom, to set us free from slavery to the sin nature as the ruler of human life, to set us free from slavery to Satan as the ruler of the world. So three, the purpose is to give us the spiritual freedom through current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session, our union with Christ. We are all at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, taken by God the Holy Spirit by the nape of the neck and shoved up into union with Christ. He's at the right hand of the Father. You believed in Christ, you probably didn't feel anything. You probably would have got whiplash. But you were taken by the Holy Spirit and shoved up into union with Christ instantly. So here's Christ here, but you placed your faith in him. At that moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, you are entered into union with Christ. Boom! God the Holy Spirit took you and you're right in there, right at that instant, in union with Jesus Christ. In union with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, now you are royal family of God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is your authority. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is your authority. Not the sin nature, not Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ is your authority. He's the head, we're the body. He's our authority. He's got the most fantastic plan. And the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead has been given to us to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And that is awesome. We're living in the dispensation of power. Now, unfortunately, we got a lot of Christians in America, but most of them don't know me. I know. I'm getting better. I didn't say shit. See? Most Christians don't know me, I know, when it comes to the Bible. They don't know what the Word of God says. They don't know anything about dispensational truth. They don't know about the church age. They don't know about our unique spiritual life being given to us. They don't know this is the dispensation of power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead has been given to us to live the spiritual life and glorify Jesus Christ to the maximum. Why are we here? We're here to glorify the Lord. We're here on earth a short time, but the time we're here to glorify the Lord. And when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, when you live by the power of the filling of the Spirit and the power of the Word of God in your heart, you will glorify Jesus Christ to the maximum. We're only here a short time, but that's why we're here. You're here a short time to glorify the Lord. And then when it's time for you and the Lord says, come home, well, you'll go home, absent from the body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have the purpose. Point two, or point three, the purpose is to give us the spiritual freedom through current positional truth, identification with Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session, union with Christ. Four, the purpose is to have the spiritual freedom in union with Christ to live in newness of life. To live in newness of life. That's coming up in the rest of this verse. Let me give you the rest of this verse in corrected translation. Let's start at verse 4. Therefore we have been buried together with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death. Retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that just as Christ was raised out from the dead ones, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of the glory of the Father, and you're going to see that glory here refers specifically to the omnipotence of God the Father, so also we, royal family of God, might live in newness of life. The unique spiritual life of the church age. And how do we do that? That same power that raised Christ from the dead has been given to us to live in newness of life. And when you live in newness of life, you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you advance, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have personal love for God, the great motivational virtue, motivating impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue, and you have occupation with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has made Himself at home in your heart. He is your authority. You love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And for you, from that point on, to live is Christ, and to die is profit. So the purpose is to have the spiritual freedom in union with Christ to live in newness of life. To live the unique spiritual life by the grace and power of God, by the filling of the Spirit, and by the Word of God metabolized doctrine in your heart. And then we have the comparative host bearer. H-long-O-S-P-E-R, host bearer. And host bearer means as or just as. We're going to translate it just as. Just as Christos. Just as Christ. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. Transliterated. It doesn't tell you what it means. It's transliterated Christ, but it actually literally means the anointed one. It's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Mashiach, Messiah. Messiah means the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one. So both Christ and Messiah, Mashiach, Hebrew, Christos, Greek, when they translate it, it is the anointed one. There is one anointed one. God the Father anointed the eternal Son to be the Savior of the world, to carry out Operation Grace and solve the world problem of sin. Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin by His work on the cross. And then we have Egeiro. E-G-E-I-R long O. Egeiro. Now, as a transitive verb, egeiro means to wake. To wake somebody up. Literally, to wake up people who have been sleeping too long. Come, wake up, sluggard, you know. Figuratively, it means to raise. It's used for the doctrine of resurrection. And as an intransitive verb, which is what we have, egeiro is used for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The passive voice of egeiro emphasizes the grace and power of God. Both God the Father and God the Holy Spirit were the agents in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And that power, that omnipotence of God the Father, that omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit in resurrecting Jesus Christ from the dead, that's the power that has been given to us to live the spiritual life of the church age. And when you live the spiritual life of the church age, you will have the greatest, most fantastic, most wonderful life. A life of happiness, a life of blessing. There is nothing that can compare to it. That's the life that God has for you. And it's sad that there's so many Christians that miss out on what God has given. It's there. This spiritual life is spectacular. It's magnificent. When you have Jesus Christ at home in your heart, He's the most important love of your life. And on the other side of the coin, happiness. You share the happiness of God. You share the happiness of God every day of your life. Every day. Now let me ask some of you. We got people here. Do you share the happiness of God every day in your life? Every day. Today. Tomorrow. At work. Are you happy sharing the happiness of God every day? You hear me say it all the time. I say it everywhere I go. When Deb and I go to a restaurant, everywhere we go, I tell everybody Merry Christmas. And the plan of God is so fantastic. When I go to Total Wine, the pastor goes to Total Wine, I'm going to start praying for him. That he gets a good bottle, not the kind that Tim Vanzel drinks. I say Merry Christmas. The people that wait on me say Merry Christmas, but I explain why. You see, when you live this unique spiritual life that God has given you, you'll have Christmas every day. I don't care whether you're sick or whether you're well. I don't care whether you have terminal illness, or have great health. It makes no difference. I don't care whether you have little by way of material things and finances, or whether you have billions and billions. And if you do have billions and billions, don't forget to tithe. I'm glad you're laughing. Obviously, none of you have billions and billions. How much is that worth? How much is that worth? Just, we got people here, just think about that. How much is that worth to have Christmas every day? No matter what's going on, no matter what's going on in Las Vegas or Nevada or the United States or the world, how much is that worth to share the happiness of God every single day? That's what God has for you. That's what He has for you. He has made it possible for you to walk in newness of life. Newness of life. And when you walk in newness of life, this will be reality. All right, we'll pick it up at this point. Take a break. Give you a chance to go out. Be careful not to get frostbite when you're out there going outside.